Classrooms may be closed, but Arizona schools still have responsibilities to students who need special instruction. As KJZZ's Ben Giles reports, those responsibilities don't go away just because there's a pandemic.
So when I first started, like most teachers, it was kind of like, okay, you know, how do we do this?
Fareem Neal usually teaches what's called community-based training for students with moderate to mild intellectual disabilities at Maryvale High School. His students spend their school days with him and a handful of other teachers and staff in a single classroom. All of that went away in March. Neal's students aren't alone in facing the harsh reality of school without, well, a school. But Amanda Glass, an attorney for the Arizona Center for Disability Law, says this experience can be particularly tough on students with disabilities.
For a lot of students with disabilities who have behavioral health issues or mental health issues, there's going to be trauma around what's happened. They've been ripped away from their teachers and friends. Many of them rely on having a set schedule and have been struggling with not going to school.
Those struggles may mean special education students aren't meeting the goals in their IEPs. That's an individual education plan provided to students by federal law. Alyssa Trollinger helps run the Exceptional Student Services Division at the State Department of Education. She said federal guidance has been clear. Students with disabilities should still have equal access to education as any other child would.
It's an above and beyond expectation for all students intended to meet the needs of students with disabilities, even during school closure.
That doesn't mean all those goals can be met in a remote learning environment.
Most goals are still possible. But there are definitely goals kind of like that, like, you know, socializing with friends or interacting with friends. And you can try your best from kind of the group sessions when we're socializing, but it's not the same.
Teachers like Neal are doing their best. Instead of trying to imitate his classroom by conferencing with all of his students at once, Neal shifted to one-on-one lessons. It's worked for some students who've managed to stay engaged. Others have struggled to keep up.
It's understandable because they're so thrown off, and they were students who were really used to the routine of school and really thrive there, and now they're, you know, not being asked to do that.
Neal said it helps when parents are involved. Some families he works with are diligent about reaching out and finding ways to keep their students engaged beyond the 30 to 40 minutes Neal gets to spend one-on-one with them. Folks like Lori Bird at the Department of Education have tried to help teachers and families reach students. Bird said the department has also tried to urge pragmatism.
Students can only be expected to do what their skill set allows them to do. And so you have to meet the student where they are so that you're not creating additional stress that's going to cause an even greater impact on that student.
Glass, the attorney, said that extends to families as well.
What we've heard a lot from families is that this is impossible. I'm trying to work from home. I have multiple children. We don't have enough technology. I can't teach my children at home. I can't provide these therapies at home. And a lot of what schools are saying is, parents, don't beat yourself up. We understand this is super temporary. Don't push your kids too hard. When we all come back in the fall, we'll address it.
That last part is important to remember. That educational needs not met during the pandemic aren't forgotten. Bird says schools know they're required to make up for lost time with what's called compensatory education.
The school has to figure out what the impact was on the student, gather information and input from the parent, and come up with a plan as to how that student's going to be able to move forward once school resumes on a public school campus.
Glass advises parents to start making plans for that makeup education now. Given how many special education students will need compensatory education in the fall, they'll likely need to advocate for their kids. And it could take a long time to make up for the lost time in schools. Ben Giles, KJZZ News, Phoenix.
Classrooms in Arizona are closed through the end of the school year, and it's not clear how students will be learning in the fall. But schools still have a responsibility under federal law to provide special instruction to students with disabilities that fits their individual needs. Here to tell us what that means for the next school year is KJZZ's Ben Giles. Hey there, Ben.
Good morning, Mark.
So when you say schools have a responsibility to these students, what exactly does that mean?
So schools have been advised both by federal officials and by the Arizona Department of Education that the pandemic doesn't mean they're off the hook when it comes to providing what's called a free appropriate public education. And what that means is students who have special needs under federal law, maybe that's a physical or an intellectual disability, they have individual plans, those are known as IEPs, to meet their educational needs. And those needs must still be met even while schools are operating remotely.
Is that even possible under these circumstances?
What I'm told is yes and no. I talked to Kareem Neal, who teaches students with moderate to mild intellectual disabilities at Maryvale High School. He said he's still able to meet some goals in those IEPs for individual students, but other needs are impossible to accomplish while safely social distancing.
You know, there's many students that have, you know, services with a paraprofessional. Like, for instance, I had a student who had what is called a one-on-one paraprofessional, meaning a person is with them all day. And obviously, those kinds of services will be hard to meet if we're not going to be in school.
So, Ben, if those kinds of services can't be provided right now and certain goals in a student's IEP can't be accomplished, what happens to them? Are the schools punished for not providing them?
So the Department of Education here said it's trying to be pragmatic about what can and can't be accomplished under these extraordinary circumstances. But what they've reminded schools is that in the long term, those services will still need to be provided. Those goals will need to be met eventually. I talked to Amanda Glass, who's an attorney with the Arizona Center for Disability Law. And she said that in instances where, for example, students are backsliding, maybe their ability to articulate for themselves declines during the pandemic because their needs aren't being met on a daily basis, the schools can measure that and they can make sure that they get back up to speed.
We really hope that schools will follow the guidance that's been put out by the Arizona Department of Education. But at the end of the day, we anticipate that parents and families are going to need to be prepared to advocate for their children at the district or charter level to make sure they get that compensatory education that they're owed once schools reopen.
So, Ben, it sounds like it's going to be challenging to compensate for the educational opportunities that were not provided over these past few months.
Right. And a big part of that challenge is just going to be how many students will need that makeup time, so to speak. It could take months. It could take more than a year to get everyone back on track just because of the sheer volume of students who are going to need what they called compensatory education. Glass said schools should also be prepared to help students just beyond any academic regression. She said there's going to be trauma, there's going to be potential behavioral or mental health issues related to students being ripped away from the teachers and the providers in classrooms that they really rely on, or maybe home life is rough right now because a parent is sick.
And of course, this all could become even more complicated, right, if schools aren't ready to welcome students back into classrooms this fall.
And teachers like Neil say they're preparing for that possibility. You know, right now, Neil said he's found the most effective way to reach his students is through one-on-one video conferencing. He gets maybe 30 to 40 minutes with each student each day. But he said maybe in the fall, he'll try small groups to help students connect with each other. That's just a part of the flexibility that they've had to provide. And Glass said all schools should be planning for the worst.
We hope that schools will use the summer to plan for a way that this could be more effective next time, while also reducing the burden on families. We understand that it's a novel situation, and right now it feels like a crisis, but it could be the new normal for a while.
All right. Certainly plenty to keep our eyes on through the summer as we approach the next school year. That is KJZZ's Ben Giles. Ben, as always, thank you.
Thanks, Mark.